There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode. My guest this week is the absolutely gorgeous Rebecca Grimes, or as I like to call her, the Irish version of Marilyn Monroe, because she's only the spits of her. I've known Rebecca for a good few years now, and I'll always remember where we first met. It was in the casting process for Damo and Ivor, and I can't remember if it was series one or series two, but Rebecca came in to audition for a part. And I remember even from the second that I saw her thinking, oh my God, wouldn't she just be the most perfect girlfriend for Damo? And she auditioned for a part and she was so good. And note this, any actors listening to us, the audition process, sometimes, you know, when you think, oh, I didn't get the part, I'm not good enough. Sometimes you're too good. And that was the case with Rebecca. At the time in the script and the series, we didn't have a part of Damo's girlfriend. So when it came to writing Damo and Ivor the movie, we wrote the part of Kelly so that Rebecca could step in and play Damo's girlfriend. And she was absolutely incredible. Rebecca is a brilliantly talented actor. She's probably most known for her role as the feisty Hayley Collins in Fair City. So because Rebecca and I have been great mates over the years, I asked her to be a guest on the podcast, and thankfully Rebecca still had her diary from when she was growing up as a teenager, and it's so 90s, it actually has a denim cover, a denim with flowers sewn onto it as well, and there's some absolutely gas stuff written in there. It was brilliant talking to her and reminiscing about life in the 90s and noughties, growing up as a teenager and the obsession with boys. So here's my chat with Rebecca. Rebecca Grimes, welcome to Collaborative Studios. Thank you so much for being part of the Cringe Binge podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you because you have an actual diary.
Actual diary.
So going back over thinking of teenage Rebecca.
Yes.
How does it make you feel?
Just kind of gas. Like I had so much crack. You know, I had great friends. I loved school. I really had a great time. Like, it's not, I have no tragic memories. I was pretty tragic in parts due to my own doing, you know, and pining after everyone. But no, it was great crack. Like, I had a great time.
So have you got brothers and sisters? What was your relationship like with your family growing up?
So I was the baby. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of doted on. And I have two older brothers and an older sister, and there was 5 years between us all, so there was quite a big gap, you know. So I inherited a lot of my sister's tastes, even though she was 15 years older than me. So when all my friends were listening to Take That and Boyzone, I was really into Sting and Bryan Adams. And
yeah.
Maybe that was where my love for an older man with a nice head of hair came from.
So you being the baby of the family, mm-hmm. did that allow you to get away with murder? Like, you know,
murder.
Getting permission to go to teen mm-hmm. discos and stuff, were you just, yeah.
Yeah, I got away with an awful lot that my siblings definitely didn't, you know. And yeah, my parents weren't that strict. My dad was pretty strict. but my mum was great and she would kind of sneak me out and let me do things, you know. Like my mum bought me my first fake ID. And
brilliant. Yeah, she got it.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She
How
bought
did you
it for me.
That one?
She was just really kind of cool about it. I remember like asking if I could go to teenage discos and stuff and knowing that my dad wouldn't let me. But while my dad was away, I knew my mum would let me, you know. And then.
Where did the fake ID come from?
So a friend of my sister's. He would have been the boyfriend at the time, but he's her husband now. A friend of him was making them.
Love, there was so much back deal. Yeah. Going, oh my God, yeah, the old back alleys with the fake IDs.
And I remember, yeah, it was 60 quid.
Now, that's serious. Was that for a passport or a driver's license or?
National age card.
Oh, a national age card. So did you have to provide the photo or
how
did it work?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you get the photo and then they, you provide the date that you wanted. So they just made me. I was 16, so they made me 19. And I went and like tried to pick out my most mature cardigan and got the photos done and tried to look as sophisticated as possible.
And for 60 quid now, I'd be expecting something looking really seriously.
It was super.
Legit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it worked everywhere. It was super. And there was a little hologram with a heart on it that the bouncers used to run their nail over to make sure that it was real. So I remember getting my compass out of my school bag and like drawing on the lines so that there was like a serrated edge that they'd feel when they ran their thumb over it.
Oh my God, you're what a pro.
I love it. I really wanted to get into those clubs.
Yes, you did. So tell me about school. What was your school life like and your memories of school?
I loved school.
Yeah.
I really,
would you
really
go back?
No.
But it was great at
the
time.
It was great at the time. Okay. Like, you go this far on, you hardly know any of those people anymore, you know. But at the time, it was everything to me and I loved it. And I got on with everyone, I like to think, you know.
Was it a mixed school or?
It was a mixed school, mm-hmm. Yeah. Which was endless source of entertainment and distraction for me, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had a great time. I was the head girl.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're the first prefect on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about
captain. School
because
captain.
Mm. When I spoke to Esther and I asked her, was she a prefect? I wasn't a prefect either. And I think everybody has like a secret longing, you know, that they're going to call out your name and you're going to be chosen. Now, the head girl is next level. Like basically you are the Rose of Tralee. Get the boat. How did you feel when you were crowned head prefect, head girl?
Like I really wanted it to be the movie version of my life where it was actually Homecoming Queen.
Oh my God, you know? Amazing. What's the equivalent it is?
It's a really
That's
disappointing.
A lot of responsibility.
Version.
Did you get a badge?
You know, I had a badge.
Oh my God. Wow. And a medal?
Yeah. I don't think there was a medal. There was myself and Donald. There was like a head boy and head girl or male and female school captains, whatever it was called. And Donald Kearney, that's his name. Mm. He was the male school captain and he was kind of like a better student than me, maybe. And I remember he got student of the year then that year. And I kind of thought like, maybe, you know, I might be student of the year as well. But I was really pushing it. So
now Donald got it. Why do you think you were chosen to be the head girl? So a role now with a lot of responsibility, like, you know.
I think it was because I got on with everyone, you know, and I mixed in all kind of circles and I liked the quiet kids, I like the loud kids, I like the bold kids, the good kids. That like I kind of got on with everyone and I just got stuck in with everything. And I was always extracurricular and I like to kind of do everything and try everything. And
did
I
you
suppose
ever get
I'm
in
still
trouble?
The same. Like, not really. No.
And as a student, how would you have rated yourself?
4 out of 5.
I thought you were going to say out of 10, but out of 5. No. I love it.
4 out of 5.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, when you were growing up and going through all those school years, did you know what you wanted to do in later life?
Do you know, I didn't really realise that that was an option. And I remember the moment it clicked for me because I remember like filling out CAO forms and looking at prospectuses for colleges and going to open days and all that kind of stuff. And it's really scary. And I was 16 doing my leave insert, so I was very young, you know, So it's pretty...
How did that happen? Was that skipping fourth year?
Yeah, I skipped fourth year and I was just dying to go to school the minute I turned 4, apparently. So, I was really young, so that was kind of a scary time to go, oh, I have to make this huge decision. And it's the first, massive decision you have to make in your life, you know. And I remember, freaking out and crying in the sitting room going, I'm just really overwhelmed, you know. And I'd gone to all the open days and looked at all the different stuff. And I was like, oh, journalism or media or public relations, something kind of in that area. Mm. And I remember I was on the train on the way home from the open day, and one of the guys that was maybe a year or two older than me was saying, I was telling a story, and he was like, God, you're so dramatic. You know, I was telling a story with hands and like doing voices and actions and all the rest. He's like, you should be an actor. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he was like, no, you should. And I was like, can you? You know, I was like, yeah. I didn't. And I was always involved in plays and drama classes and stuff, but I didn't realize you could do it
as a career. Wow.
So then I was like, oh my God. I started looking into all this. And yeah, then I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then I was like, a light bulb clicking, you know, and you're like, that's what I want to do. You know?
How did you make it happen then?
So because I was so young, I went and I did a post-leaving cert course in Donegal. So I did that when I was 17.
What's involved? I've never heard of one of those. What's
so like a post-leaving cert course? So like a FETAC course.
Okay, yeah.
So there's just like loads of different modules. So it was...
So you're just brushing up on loads of different skills.
Yeah, but it was in theatre performance.
Oh, fantastic.
So like we'd have different modules in playwriting, in music, in stagecraft, in kind of like just giving you an overview of a career in theatre, say. So I did that for a year, and then we had a showcase at the end of that. And after that, I ended up getting an agent and getting a professional gig. And I was like, woohoo. And the gig ran like for the whole summer in Andrews Lane, and it just kept getting extended and kept getting extended. And I was like, I'm laughing here. I turned 18 during that show and I was delighted. And then I was like, OK, well, I won't go to college. Like I'm OK now, you know. So I took the year and nothing happened. Got no work, went for loads of auditions, didn't get anything. And then I was like, OK, I have to go back to college. So I went and did the 2 years in the Gaiety, where I met Emer, and yeah, that was it then.
And that was it. Fantastic. Okay, so going back to the teenage years, so you grew up like sort of 90s and noughties.
Yes.
And in that time, what did you look like?
Oh God.
Like basically, when I think of you, the first person I always think of is Marilyn Monroe. So like if I think of what did you look like in your teen years, I just go into Google and type in teen Marilyn. Will I see a picture of you?
Oh no, you won't. I wish I could say that.
Well, what did you look like as a teenager?
Okay, so... I was really struggling with my curly hair. You know, curly hair was not cool. So I would try to like straighten the life out of it.
But there was no GHDs.
There was no GHDs.
So
there was your iron. Oh. You know, so you would iron it. Yeah. And if you were lucky, you had a friend iron it for you because you'd scald the neck off yourself otherwise.
Are you talking about now laying it out on the ironing board?
Laying it out, yeah. Your head upside down just next to it, tipping it over. Like... the sophisticated people would use a paper bag over it, but we were just like, nah, get it done.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God.
And it was great because you could never get directly at the root. So there was a nice kink just like at the
bit
top.
Bit of volume at the
bit
root.
Bit of volume before it just went lank and dead.
My God.
So there was a lot of that. There was eyebrows that were plucked to within an inch of their lives. God love them. And yeah, there was a lot of borrowed makeup from my sister, so purple eyeshadows, a lot of shimmery eyeshadows, and like a mauvey kind of lipstick.
Okay, you so know? You hadn't worked out at that stage then that the red lip was your signature thing.
Yeah. No, okay. I remember being disgusted at a red lip. It was like, ugh. I remember at one point having a white lipstick.
Oh God, I remember that. There was that fashion as well to do white lipstick or to put foundation all over your lips.
Yeah.
Who invented that? Mm-hmm. So what about fashion and clothes? What stands out in your mind as, did you commit any crimes against fashion throughout those years?
Well, because I was the baby, I inherited a lot of clothes, okay. You know, and my sister was so much older, they wouldn't have been suitable, but my... the brother closest to me was only 5 years older than me, mm-hmm. So I got a lot of his gear,
okay.
Which is gas because it's what you see on the street now. Like,
yeah,
it's what people are wearing,
so trendy.
Like those kind of zippy jackets and
all the sportswear.
Yeah,
everything big and baggy, yeah. And everything that was the look of that time.
So there was a lot of that. There was more fleeces than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah. Oh my God, what was that about?
There was like,
must have been freezing fleeces for everything. Fleecy tracksuit
in every shade, like a fleece for every occasion. And what else? Like combat trousers I loved, and platform shoes. And I remember because I was really tall, like I am really tall still, but I was really tall for my age. And all the boys that I fancied, kind of like when I just started school, so in first year and second year, were much smaller than me. And I remember one day borrowing my sister's Pepe platforms because they were really cool and I wanted to be like a cool dude in the school. And I was standing outside the school and this boy that I fancied was standing next to me and he was like head and shoulders shorter than me. And obviously I've got these platforms on as well, so I'm like Blondzilla standing beside him, you know. And I remember just like sliding down the wall like really nonchalantly and just kind of affecting like this hunch.
I'm not that tall. Kick off the shoes.
But I still wanted to wear the shoes because the shoes were the cool thing, yeah. You know. So I was like, not that tall, but I am wearing these cool shoes, so you should probably be in love with me.
So when did you do your blossoming? When did that happen?
Oh gosh.
Like, when still did you turn into this Irish Marilyn Monroe?
Oh God.
Were you just affected then by all of the fashion at the time of what was like, you know, culturally cool with the 90s and noughties makeup and all that sort of stuff? Sure. And then when the better fashion and stuff came in, you just got to.
No, I think it was honestly like after going to college, after going to the Gaiety and kind of just figuring out who you are. And I think those years in your early 20s are massively formative for that, you know, because you're kind of, you're an adult, you might be living out of home for the first time. You're kind of on your own a bit, you know, and you are your own person and you're able to make those choices for yourself. And like as well, moving into the city, you know, I wasn't with all the same people. I was with a kind of much more diverse group, you know, and like a lot of wild bohemians and freaks and geeks. And I was like, oh, these are my people. And you can be anything, you know, and you can dress however you want and you can express yourself however you want. But yeah, it probably took me till I was about 23 to realize that, you know, and then I started to kind of experiment and finding what I like or what I thought worked for me.
Okay, so yeah, I suppose the teenage years are so intense that it kind of cools down a little bit, thankfully, by the time you get to your
20s. You'd never get anything done.
Oh no. So speaking of intensity, tell me about your teen diary. What are you going to share with us today? I am so happy that you've documented your thoughts. From what sort of age are we going to be reading
14.
From? 14.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So this is all
prime hormones.
14. Oh my God, so much hormones. But it's so funny because like when I think back on it, I'm going, oh yeah, I had a great time or whatever, but I never had boyfriends, you know, and I didn't do very well romantically. But you would never know that from what was going on in my head and what transpires on these pages, because I was deluded.
Share some of it with us, please. So 14-year-old you, what year are we talking now then when you were 14?
2001.
2001, okay.
Also, I wrote in this diary as if it was a friend and I was speaking to it. Oh, so I ask it a lot of questions.
Oh, that's so nice. I love it. Cringe.
Okay, so this is the first entry in the diary. Dear diary, how are you? I'm lying in... Oh, my God. Sorry, I'll start again. Dear diary, how are you? I'm lying in bed at 8 o'clock with my curtains pulled and a warm mug of cappuccino.
So posh, cappuccino.
Listening to Leanne Rimes' Can't Fight the Moonlight. Isn't it great when you find a song that totally sums up how you're feeling? Well, that's what this song is like. It's not a it's not a cry into your comfort food song. It's a sexy, cool, confident way of saying, hey boy, you will be mine. That's how I feel about Richie. But I'm half afraid to be too confident in case I get cocky and get let down.
Oh, Richie, tell me more.
I was wild about this boy, Richie, in school. I was mad about him. And we were really good pals. And it was that thing of, you know, are we friends or are we more than friends? Oh. And reading into everything he did, you know, and he looked at me for like 3 seconds longer than he would normally look at me. So ergo, he loves me. And he said he likes the same song. And I think that's his way of telling me how he feels. No, like he had many other girlfriends. But
did you ever get to shift him?
No.
Oh.
Never.
Oh, so is this all unrequited love?
Oh, this whole diary is unrequited love.
No, Rebecca, give me some more.
So then the next page is the lyrics from Can't Fight the Moonlight. Oh, just so that I could.
The lyrics were so important in those years.
You couldn't just Google them, like, you know. And then what else did we have? But also, yeah, like every page, there's a new guy. you know, every page there's. And then I saw the most beautiful guy I've ever seen. And then he was followed by the most beautiful, like, it's ridiculous.
It was the best remedy, wasn't it? Just the best way to get over any unrequited love was just to find somebody else. And then he'll always be better.
Perhaps you'd like 15 ways to forget him.
Oh, give me those 15 ways to forget him. Amazing.
So I was writing like advice columns to myself.
Brilliant.
We don't know whether this is my own work or whether I've copied this from somewhere, but who knows? It was obviously important enough to go in the diary at the time. 15 ways to forget him, and him is in inverted commas. Have a good cry, punch a pillow, and then move on. That's number one. So it's kind of a three-tier system,
okay,
that one.
I like it.
Banish all love memorabilia to a box under the bed. Learn to accept it's over.
Okay. This is great advice, yeah.
Spend time on yourself. Pamper the blues and him right out of your life.
Brilliant.
Like, still do all this. Great. Oh, this is the best one. Remember, time is totty. If you're living in your room crying your eyes out, no gorge boy babe will wander up to your bedroom door now, will he?
Very true, though. Time is totty. Oh, my God. Let us apply that to life, girl.
Time is totty.
Time is totty.
What else are some of these? Have a girl's only slag off and be ruthless. Graffiti his face in all your photos. Like, I didn't have photos with any of these people. They weren't real relationships. They were in my head.
God.
Keep busy and remember there are always people worse off than you. Fair.
Yeah.
And number 15, dance him out of your system. Just give the likes of Savage Garden and Celine Dion a miss.
Oh my God. That is so 20 years ago, isn't it? Dance him out of your system.
Just dance him right out of your system.
Away. Oh my God. That is hilarious.
So funny.
And what? Oh, your handwriting is lovely, by the way.
Oh, and all different colored pens.
Yeah, gel pens. I think are featuring.
Oh God,
yeah.
And there was a bit of highlighting, which I still do.
And doodling and the whole lot.
Yeah, like there's so many.
What else jumped out of the pages and made you go, oh?
All these ones, you know, the love thingy.
Oh yeah, we'd work out the percentages.
So 51% were Christopher Phibbs.
Our lives depended on whatever the percentages came out. I believed them. I thought it was like a science.
Of course,
this is numerology.
Yeah, this is gospel. So this is Stevens's day in 2001. So Mairead is like my oldest friend for the last 28 years or so, and she still comes down on Stevens's day. So this is a long-standing tradition. Dear diary, in bed, wrecked. Mairead came down, Stevens day tradition. We started straightening my hair at 3 o'clock and finished at 6.
Oh, 3 hours of ironing your hair. Oh my God, she's a great friend.
But it's lovely. Mairead cut it and put colour in it as well, so it's gorgeous.
Gomer, everybody needs a Mairead.
I was texting Kieran today and it was so good to text a fella. Even though I don't fancy him, he is a good mate. And it felt good to have someone to text, apart from my three friends, Maria, Mairead and Michelle. Painted my nails, sob, sob. Ah, well, they were in bits. We were talking about a list of qualities a fella must have. Here they are.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Oh my God, I need
take
to
a pen, Jules.
Public service announcement coming up. A list of qualities a fella must have. I bet you this still applies.
Number one, good dress sense.
Yes.
Number two, sense of humour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number three, a lot in common with us.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, nice smell.
Mm-hmm.
And the last point, which is obviously the most pressing, the most important, number five, messy hair.
What? Messy hair. Oh, he must have messy hair. What, did you like a bit of scruff?
I think I did. But they were the five most important things. And then I went back and corrected myself. That's all I can think of. Oh, no, wait. Number six. And these came in as a secondary thought. Let me just remind you. Good values and morals. And seven, respect for himself and us. So worth noting, just not as important as the messy hair or the good dress sense.
Okay, so we just put it as a countdown instead. Just put it in reverse order and then it's the perfect list, isn't it? Oh God, that's classic. So you're really weighing up what your perfect fellow would have been. And then that experience of texting that guy. So this is obviously the very early days, the birth of technology, without it being like a Nokia type of phone and, you know, the original.
It was a Siemens.
A Siemens.
Siemens phone, C25. Mm. And I remember getting it for Christmas one year and it was so old that it didn't even tell the time. Okay. And I used to have to send myself a text in the morning when I woke up so I could find out what time it was.
No way. Oh my God.
And I would spend that 35 cents or whatever it was. Yeah, to send myself a text.
So reading that now and seeing how much it meant to you to have just that friend in that guy to be able to text and communicate with. What do you think that if you lived in what is now modern day technology with the texting that we have now, and you know when it comes up and somebody sends you a text message, you get either the two ticks or you get seen.
Yes.
And when you see seen and somebody doesn't reply, you're like,
left on red, yeah.
Like, we find it hard to cope with that now at our age. What do you think you would have been like back then with communications, with, you know, Instagrams, Snapchats, Instagram stories and everything? Would you have been somebody wrapped up in all of it, or what do you think?
I think it's obviously not as prevalent to us then, you know, it wasn't, it's not such an issue. But like Christmas Day here on the diary, it's Christmas Day, blah, 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 blah. I texted Sarah M, don't know who she is, texted Sarah M, Maria Maraid, not one wrote back. Oh, the unpopularity.
Oh my God. So what's the thing back then?
And then, oh, an edit, 5:32, just got message from Mairead. Yay.
Oh my God.
So I would have been like losing my life if there was two blue ticks like in
and
that
no
day.
Reply.
Yeah. Because I was obviously firing out text messages left, right and centre, double barreling people.
And when you think about how much people share these days, you know, on Snapchat and Instagram and all those sort of things, do you think you would have been a sharer, or do you think, oh, thank God it wasn't around in my teenage years?
I'm so grateful it wasn't around. Like, I can't imagine what it's like growing up in this kind of age, like with that technology that's available to us now. Is just terrifying. I'm sure I would have been involved. Yeah, I would have been all over everything. And, oh God, yeah, I'd never get anything done. Because other people are so massively important to you at that stage, and other people's opinion and what everyone else is doing, and you're trying to keep up with everything, you know. So yeah, thankfully, skip that.
Yeah. Do you remember who was your first kiss? What was it like?
Oh yes, I do remember. It was a guy called Colm, and I had fancied him kind of all through primary school, and I think this was probably the summer between primary school and secondary school, you know, and we're all going to split up. Mm-hmm. And all the girls in my year were going to a different school, and I was the only one, me and one other girl were going to the mixed school, and they were all going to a Loreto convent. And so it was the summer between, so I was hanging out with all the girls that we thought we were going to be separated from forever come September, you know. And we were down in the grounds of Gormanston College, and there was like a group of guys and our group, and we were like sitting miles away from each other on a football field, you know, just kind of like waving over to one another. And then like one of them, like one brave soldier is sent on a mission over, you know, to go such and such wants to meet you, such and such. And you go, okay, report back, you know, the news. And through a day of this, you know, and people pairing off, eventually came my turn and Colin wanted to meet me. So I was like, oh, go on. So, and you couldn't look like you were too impressed or delighted, you know, so you had to be a bit reluctant about the whole thing, I suppose. But like inside you were like, yeah. And I remember he was wearing a Liverpool jersey, but he was wearing the entire kit down to the socks, right?
Oh my God. You're painting a beautiful picture then. I said something absolute right.
So he had the jersey, the shorts and the socks. And it was the yellow jersey. Do you remember that? Like,
yeah.
So,
okay. Oh my God.
I had no interest in football, but I desperately wanted a Liverpool yellow jersey because Colin had one.
So and what did he look like as like did you fancy him?
Oh yeah. I really did. But again, I'd probably taken a growth spurt that summer. Mm-hmm. So I was towering over him.
Okay.
And anyway, we went for a little walk and we didn't speak one word to each other, you know, and then like we kind of got to this bush behind where we were going to do our deed. And we just looked at each other for ages and I was like, this is the most awkward thing that's ever happened in my life. And I remember as clear as anything, he put his two hands up and clicked.
What? He put his hands up and clicked.
Clicked.
Meaning?
To start.
Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. Let the good times roll. What did he think he was, the Fonz?
He just put them up and went. And then we went in first.
And you went in for the snog. Yeah. And how did you feel? Like, was it what you imagined?
Oh, God, it was probably massively underwhelming, like, you know, but I was delighted.
Because this is it.
Yeah.
Done it.
Done.
Oh, yeah, well, it's a huge landmark, you know. So and funny. What was your referral to it, like, as in, you know, the way there's so many different ways to refer to it, especially, like, all around Ireland, you know, meeting someone, shifting, snogging. Meet. It was meet someone. Will you meet me, friend,
will you
whatever.
Meet me? Yeah.
And, oh, my God. So then what are your memories of going to teen discos?
Again, it was like opportunity to go out and like you're on the prowl. Mm-hmm. It's gas, you know, like so hyped up at 14.
And would you do the thing of, you know, when the slow set comes on, wait for somebody to come and ask you to dance? Did you ever ask boys to dance or ask for the shift going, I'm gonna send my friend over there or anything? What was your...
Yeah, so like I would... So kind of say it to my friends, just being like, oh, I really like him, don't ask. You know, and then they'd be like, oh, we will. I'm like, oh, stop, no, you won't. Like, yeah, go. So, yeah.
Were you one of those people who was quantity, not quality? Did you go through any of those sort of phases?
No, I did like quality, I have to say. Yeah, and I would get hooked on an idea of someone.
So would you just kiss one guy in the night?
Yeah, okay. Probably. But yeah, I would get hooked on the idea of them and then I would obsess about them. But like for brief, intense periods. Mm-hmm. And then I would obsess about someone 2 days later, you know. But like, yeah, going to discos was the holy grail.
Yeah.
And because my dad wouldn't really let me go, my mum used to kind of sneak me out when my dad wasn't there or say I was going to my friends or whatever. But I found this really funny entry from 2002 about a disco. So for context, Mel was my brother's girlfriend at the time, right? So again, talking to the diary as if I write. Well, well, well. Hello there, stranger. This is the first account of 2002, even though it's nearly its fourth month. Well, I've absolutely loads of news that I can't believe I never wrote about. Mel had the baby. He's 7 weeks old and he's called Adam. So this was me, 14, having a nephew, right? Okay. Mel had the baby. He's 7 weeks old and he's called Adam. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I went to Movita's and I really enjoyed myself. And then I start talking about a disco.
Oh my God, like, just go straight into one thing to the other.
Brush over the fact that you have a nephew now, that you're an auntie, that this is really exciting, there's a baby. No, she had the baby. Grant, he's 7 weeks old. Wait, and I tell you about who I kissed at Movita's.
Movita's. What have you got to tell us about that?
I danced all night, which is unusual for me. But again, yeah, the most gorgeous guy I've ever seen appeared. Anyway, I didn't end up with him that night, but
just obsessed over him.
Just obsessed over him. And then I went the following week and yeah, I got my man then.
And graduating from the teen discos and everything into the sort of, you know, the drinking years and the teenage years, what are your memories of going out in the lash for the first time?
Oh, gas. Okay, so I had the fake ID.
Yeah.
So we had that from 16, and myself and Mairead would go to, there was a bar in Balbriggan, which funnily enough, we met one of our friends going out with a guy now who used to work in it. And he was like, I was probably serving you those underage drinks at the time. Like, so we were 16 and we used to go in before 9 o'clock because the doorman didn't come on until 9 o'clock. Oh, so we had it sussed.
Very clever.
And we used to drink gin and tonic before it was trendy, you know, so we thought that that looked really sophisticated.
Yeah.
Be like that, going in and having a port now, yeah, you know, that, or a sherry.
That was like a mummy's drink.
Oh, yeah.
Then.
And that's what we were thinking. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we would go and we would drink these gin and tonics. And Mairead's dad was a DJ in another local nightclub down the road. So we would go out and get hammered and then he would bring us home.
You had it all sewn up.
We had it all sewn up. Like it was, we were really, really lucky. Like it was so funny. And
that's very swanky now, going to pubs and things like that. Oh, did you ever do any old drinking the old tins in a field or
no,
anything?
Because no, because we had the, well, we had the taste for the good life at that stage.
And I remember sophistication.
Mairead used to borrow her mum's clothes, and at one point she had like this full length skirt and a Karen Millen embroidered bustier to go to the pub.
Oh my God.
And a long flowing coat, and I was probably in a pair of like jeans and high heels or something. And I remember walking behind Mairead and she just had like this flowing coat and a pair of fishnet stockings underneath the long dress.
Yeah.
And I was just like, she's so cool.
She's
but
so
like,
cool.
But like, no wonder we were getting into pubs. We looked about 45.
I know, and you're drinking mammy's drinks and everything. Classic. Oh my God. So going back to school, because this is something I'm really interested to talk to everybody about. What was your, because you, so secondary school was mixed school, is that
yes,
right?
Yeah.
What sort of sex education did they give you?
Oh my gosh. I don't remember getting any, really.
Really? Did you get anything in primary school, even like the basics?
I think we got, you know, like everyone gets a like a package kind of in sixth class. I think probably we got one of those reluctantly, you know, with, I don't know, like leaflets and stuff in it maybe.
But then nothing in secondary school that you remember?
Not as far as I, no, I really don't remember anything.
So how did you find out about everything?
Your mates.
You're just your mates, just whatever you heard from just people talking.
Whatever you heard.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Passed down.
Okay. And then how did you find out about things like, you know, because it's a huge time to go through when your body changes and hormones and you're getting your period and things like that. Was who taught you about all of that?
So my mum would have always been kind of very open with stuff like that, you know, like, and I always had a very good relationship with her. Like, she bought me the fake ID, you know, she brought me to get a tattoo when I was 15.
She's a super
I
cool
know,
mom,
yeah.
Isn't she?
I came home from school one day and I wanted to get my belly button pierced. And I was like, I'm just going to ask, I'm just going to ask. All the girls were getting it, it was really cool. And I remember she was peeling potatoes at the kitchen sink. And I was like, I want to get my belly button pierced. And she went, why would you do that? Would you not get a tattoo or something? And it had literally never crossed my mind.
Oh my God.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So she brought me and got the tattoo.
And what tattoo
at 15.
Did you get?
I got a little Bluebell because that was my nickname at home was Bluebell.
Aww.
So yeah, I have a 15,
did you ever get 16 any more?
Year, no.
That's just the only one.
Just
away.
The one I got when I was 15. Which
oh
is
my
gas.
God. So your
mum. So my mum, yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah, like I remember when I lost my virginity, like I went home and told her, you know, so it was
you had a very close
very,
relationship
yeah,
with
yeah,
her.
Yeah.
That's
we
brilliant.
Were able to talk about anything, you know. So I probably got a lot from that, you know, and my older sister a bit because she was 15 years older. Like.
Yeah.
What? And when I think of it, like when I was like, she was the age I am now with a 15-year-old sister or 16-year-old sister, you know, so.
God, it's mad, isn't it? Yeah. To think of it like that. Yeah. Yeah. So when it came to, do you remember where you were when you got your first period?
Oh God, I was in school. Yeah. It happened to me in school in front of everyone.
Oh no. Oh God.
So I remember, this is so funny, like the tiny minutia that you remember. I remember I had a pair of my brother's hand-me-down school trousers, right? And he had like spilt, and he had a pen in his pocket and a pen had leaked, like a red pen in his pocket. And there was just this red ink stain in his pocket. And I remember we were going for PE and I was getting changed. And oh God, one girl like pointed at me and was like, what's that? And pointed at me there. And I was like, oh no. She was like, what's that on your trousers? And I was like, no, my brother's pen just leaked in his pocket. These were his trousers. And she was like, no, there. And then I looked down and it got me. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So were you in the changing rooms when this happened?
In the
happened?
Changing rooms, yeah.
What
with
did
girls
you do?
Going to PE. I think I probably just went to the bathroom and fashioned myself a nappy.
Did a little MacGyver for yourself, going, what else are you going to do?
I was like, let's never talk about this again.
Because it's a huge landmark moment in yeah. any woman's life. And yeah. was it something that you were dreading, or was it something you were dying to get it? Or what were your feelings around that time?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was dying to get it. Like, yeah. I remember thinking that I was going to be cool and I was going to be a woman then. Yeah. And I got it when I was 12. But I remember thinking, like, oh, that's it now. I'm made up, you know?
Yeah.
And the same friend that had pointed it out was, like, really, really smaller than me and, like, just developing at a completely different rate. She didn't get hers till she was nearly 16. And everyone, all the girls had theirs. And she was obviously, like, feeling left out. So she used to be really vocal about how great it was not to have it, you know? And she's like, I'm still free.
Oh, my God. That was obviously her defense mechanism. Yeah, it was obviously her.
Yeah.
It's a crazy.
Like, oh, your life is over.
Yeah, it's mad how people can do. There was a girl in my class who got it when she was 8.
Yeah, my mum was really young as well.
And
yeah.
all those different. That's why I'm so fascinated to know about what people's sex education was like. That some that just got the basics and some that got none.
It's mad.
And
yeah.
because whatever the kids are getting these days, and they're very different kids to the ones that we were, they're getting the same really bad crap sex education, which is just bonkers because they're different kids and they live in a different world.
And there's so much accessible to them, and there's so much dark stuff accessible, you know, that they need to know that that's not always the norm, or like that there is.
It's not normal at all. Any of that stuff online. Mm-hmm. What are your memories of living in a world of where we just suddenly had technology? Computers came along, phones came along. Do you remember a life before the internet?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Yeah, so mine and Mairead's hobby. People get like just so confused by this, and they'd be right. So mine and Mairead's hobby was we grew up in the countryside, right? So we were on the edge of a bog. Excuse me. We were on the edge of a bog, and there was no roads. Like, it was really kind of rural, you know. And the next house was maybe 4 miles away. So myself and Mairead would drag two plastic chairs down to the end of my driveway and sit there with our notebooks, and we would write down the car registration numbers.
Oh, God, no.
As they passed.
No, you didn't.
And when I tell people this, they're like,
oh, God.
Why? Like, why?
Past
like,
the
just, yeah, just writing them down. Were you collating the information for any purposes? Nope.
Oh,
no, we were just writing them down. And we would hear, it was before the motorway was built, so before the M1 was built, which is really close to where we are now. And you could hear a car coming from like 10 miles away, and you'd be so excited. You'd be like, I hear one. Oh, God. I'd say it's going to be red. Oh, it might be a 96. What do you think? Oh, I don't know. Like, this is what we would do.
There was sweetest, most innocent world. Innocent. Past the time.
Notebooks of car registration numbers. Just shooting the shit down the end of the driveway.
Oh, my God. It's adorable. What was your first job? You should have been working for the census.
Well, I should.
You know, you can imagine you would have been like, I'll do it for free. In fact, I have a full log here of all the cars that have
every car that's ever passed.
But you know what? They're the kind of stories that you hear, and then, you know, there could be some mad twists on it, you know, where the guards are looking for a particular reg and it's involved in a crime and everything. Oh, geez, if anything, you should fabricate that story for the future.
Well, let me just check my records.
Yeah.
And he did pass here.
And then you and the guard fall in love, and oh, you know, there's a listen, there's a rom-com in this. There is, right? I'll get writing.
So my first job, I worked in the barbershop with my sister from when I was 12. So yeah, I started working then.
Oh, you did,
sweeping the floors. Sweeping floors, washing hairs. And I worked there right up until I was 16. And then I started working in a pub in the town and other bits and pieces. But like, I was reading this earlier, there's an entry in the diary where it was like, God, I'm just going to have to get another job. This one ain't paying the bills.
Oh my God, what bills?
What bills? And why are you talking like that? And you were 14, what else were you going to do? Or 13, like, what were you going to do? So Vicky was a barber, so she would bring me to work, and it was obviously like get her out of the house on a Saturday type of thing, you know. And I'd go and sweep floors and chat to people. And
obviously it was a barber, it's only men coming in, so were you loving them?
Delighted.
Yeah, taking me an old head massage there now.
Oh yeah
flirting and away with the customers.
There was rival barbershop across the road, and I was really in love with one of those barbers. I was like wild about him.
Oh my God, that's like a West Side Story sort of thing going on. Did your sister know about this love?
I don't think so. I must ask her actually. I was wild about him. Brilliant. And my sister's husband or boyfriend at the time worked beside him. So she used to send me on little messages over to Richie, you know, or Richie. And I would be jumping at the chance because I had to pass this barber and like have a look in at him. Mm-hmm. I was just like a creep going around staring at people like.
Well, that's the intensity of the teenage years.
So intense.
If you could go back now and talk to your teenage self, what would you say to her?
Calm down. Calm down and, oh God, what would I say? Like, I don't know. I think I'd just give her a hug and be like, you're going to be grand. Like, it's all good fun, you know. And thankfully, I got through relatively unscathed, you know. Yeah, I probably, like, would I tell her to ease up? Would she listen, you know? I don't know. And I'm not sure how much has changed.
I love it. Well, Rebecca, for taking part in the podcast, you get one of Jules's giant 10-penny bags.
Look at this.
Which is all the retro sweets from back in the day. Thank so this is like your so inner much. Child gets a Willy Wonka moment to just go, oh my God, all the times I was there. Please, can I have these sweets? It's there you amazing. Go. It's all in there. There's frutellas and there's sherbet dips. And
those, what were they, flying saucers?
Yeah, flying saucers, cola bottles.
A push pop, we were never allowed them.
Oh, and there's also, do you know what else in there? A ring pop. So it's the one that you wear in the ring and then you, yeah. Or you can wear it around your neck as well. There's another
cool
trend.
Dude.
Remember that? Yeah, yeah.
Cool,
so there
dude.
You go.
Thank you so much. I love that.
There's enough sugar to last you till Christmas.
Absolutely. I'll never sleep again.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast and sharing your teen
thank
diary
you.
With us. You've been
Cheers,
amazing.
Jules, thanks.
Thank you. Oh, I loved that chat with Rebecca, our Irish Marilyn Monroe. That's always who I think of because she really is like the absolute spits of her. Thanks, Rebecca, for being part of the podcast. If you want to follow Rebecca on Instagram, her handle is @thegrimeline. And my Instagram is @JulesCallPics. And up there, I post loads of pictures of childhood toys and fashion and pop culture from the 90s. And all the pictures where people go, oh my God, I'd completely forgotten about that. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's @JulesCallPics. So that's all for this episode. I'm your host, Jules Call. And this is the Cringe Binge podcast, My 90s Teenage Diary, brought to you by Acast, home of the world's best podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.